Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning in the studio, we've got Cameron Leakey, who's a master's student in the Department of Social and Community Health, connected to the Sex and Prevention of Transmission Study, which is called SPOTS for short. You also have a broader interest in rainbow healthcare. Welcome, Cameron. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you in the studio. What sort of led you into this area of research? Because it feels like very sort of specific, but as you have indicated, like broad interests and big communities and how healthcare is or isn't accessible, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess going right back, I've always had a bit of a deep sense of fairness and justice, and I think that sort of guided me as I sort of found my career and found what I wanted to do. I've worked in community pharmacy through high school and through the beginning of my university time, so became really passionate about health. And then as I sort of found my pathway through university, I landed in this area of public health, which to me I find this kind of amazing, perfect marriage of social science and the science and clinical side of health as well. So
yeah.
For me, it's about applying these concepts to bettering health outcomes for communities, and I'm naturally drawn to working for communities that I'm a part of and communities like my own. So
yeah.
It's become this sort of fusion and this sort of space of where I work.
Totally. So tell us a wee bit about what you're actually doing in your master's, because it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so the focus of my thesis is specifically on access to HIV prevention medicine. So it's called pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, essentially. So it's a daily or as required pill for people at a higher risk of HIV to protect them against HIV infection. So in New Zealand, this comprises largely our gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men. So my research is on this one health issue, and we're looking at where the access issues lie for PrEP. So whether or not it's potentially in people's knowledge of PrEP, in their willingness to take PrEP, or in the access and uptake to PrEP as a result of where they can access it. We also got the ability within our data to look at different populations in the community.
True,
so we're looking
okay.
So we're potentially looking at Māori and Pacifica, also potentially urban and rural populations, and younger people as well, to see if there's significant differences in the access to PrEP and then how we could apply that to better access.
That's so interesting. And it feels like, I mean, in the last few years, we've started to see much more of a mainstream conversation about PrEP, but it's still something that is maybe news to a lot of people, and even within the rainbow community who've perhaps had more conversation about this for a longer time, there's still so much work to be done in that space. What's some of the stuff you've sort of discovered so far? I know you're still in the process of doing all your research, but what's some of the stuff that's been interesting to you about maybe the ways that different communities are accessing the conversation around PrEP or accessing the drugs itself?
Yeah, I think there's two things to that. There's firstly the way that different communities socialise the idea of PrEP and HIV prevention, and we find that that's structured from a whole sense of different sort of cultural and social norms.
Yeah.
Also to do with your connection to the community and whānau as well. It makes quite a difference on how you talk about HIV prevention and how it sort of comes into your life if it is something that is
totally
indicated. The other thing I'd say is that those cultural norms affect people's access to healthcare generally anyway. I mean, we see that from a sort of intersectional approach.
Yeah.
Māori and Pacifica often report difficulties in accessing healthcare, and then when you intersect that with different sexual or gender identities, it can become even more challenging to have those conversations. We're at really early stages with the research, but with that sort of background knowledge, we're unfortunately expecting that we might see some disparities there.
Yeah, totally. And I imagine, as you sort of indicate there, it's not necessarily a surprise to find those disparities. What are you hoping your research is going to be able to do? So what will this kind of information you're gathering at the moment do for, I guess, these disparities perhaps, or the sort of broader understanding of it?
Yeah, there's many applications of this work, which I'm really pleased about. It's great to do
a thesis. Yeah, nice to have a broad thesis, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And so part of that is really just putting a number to this issue, to actually quantify what's happening here, to say we kind of know anecdotally that this is potentially an issue, but then to actually say, you know, the research can show that there are these differences, and we can start to look at applying that through things like you know, cultural competency and safety, or kind of tailoring our messaging or promotion efforts to make sure we're reaching communities in a more equitable way.
Totally. Broadly speaking, when it comes to rainbow healthcare, there has been maybe more, as I mentioned earlier, mainstream focus on how it's accessed or where those conversations are. What are some things that have made you maybe kind of feel hopeful about the way that messaging is heading, or the way that communities are heading? I know you sort of work in this space in various different guises. What's been some stuff that you felt really good about in the last while?
Oh, I think it's really pleasing to see that this conversation is becoming a little bit more mainstream and there's a bit more focused attention. We're seeing that with the renewal of clinical programs, particularly in New Zealand, that there is now a focus on including rainbow health competency. You know, we're seeing that as we renew programs, just as we do periodically, people are saying, well, actually, we do need to include a focus on rainbow communities and we do need to do a little bit more. There's research out there that indicates that medical schools across Australasia have an average of only 5 or 6 hours of rainbow health content.
Across
about 5 or 6 years.
Oh my God.
Which is not sufficient. And really what we're seeing is there's more of an appetite amongst people to understand their own community or communities like their own, or that their friends and their whānau are a part of. So I think that's really, really promising. Also just a bit more of the sort of nuance that we're having with these discussions. We're becoming a lot better at being inclusive and actually having these conversations about how we can do better, which I think is really, really pleasing.
That's awesome to hear. Oh, best of luck with the rest of your research, Cameron. Thank you for coming in to chat with us about it today. It sounds really fascinating and very important work as well. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.